So again, George, triple negative, ER positive, HER2 negative, where are you thinking about sequencing?
So I think this is a changing landscape in large part due to the falling price of all this genetic testing. So first, of course, we have to talk about host genetic testing. 3 years ago, BRCA1 and BRCA2 testing was done by a single company and cost $3,000+. Today, you can get 30 cancer genes for $750, and speaking to the companies that are doing this, it's going to be a couple hundred dollars 2 years from now. If something costs the price of a CBC at Stanford University, actually CBCs actually cost more at Stanford University than that, why wouldn't I order the test on everyone? I think it's a reasonable question.
But as opposed to germline testing?
So I think the germline testing, again, is getting so cheap that my bias is 5 years from now, we're going to order it on everyone. Everyone who has cancer.
Well, I was going to say, as of today, would you consider at least BRCA testing standard in a patient who has HER2 negative metastatic breast cancer?
I'm certainly comfortable doing
Regardless
it.
of
I'm
family
certain, I'm
history.
certainly comfortable doing it because the price has come down so much. The other thing, of course, is now for the very first time, the FDA has approved a drug for metastatic cancer if you have an MSI-high tumor. No, there aren't many breast cancer patients who are MSI high. I happen to have one in my clinic who's doing great on a checkpoint inhibitor. But, 5 years from now, again, are we going to be ordering all of these on everyone just because we're going to be looking for the zebras that are going to be responsive to these novel agents?
Have you, and I'm curious, in your practice, thinking about germline testing in patients with metastatic HER2 negative disease? I mean, particularly once they start getting farther down the line. I'll share with you that with two different symposia on prostate cancer recently, I've asked the faculty, would you do BRCA germline testing on a patient with metastatic castrate-resistant prostate? Every single one of them said yes, and every single one of them has used the PARP inhibitor. So I don't know if we're moving towards the MSI. You see BRCA and other tumors. Are we going to start? Do you think that's where we're going to land?
Probably. I think we're heading toward testing more in patients. I mean, when I was a fellow, it was all histology driven. You were either a breast or lung or GI specialist, and it's becoming more about the biology of the tumor, even the rare ones. If we can get a great response, that's the whole idea of personalized medicine.
So I'm kind of curious, in your practice right now, are you starting to think about BRCA testing in people without family history who aren't young but have HER2 negative metastatic disease?
I still follow the NCCN guidelines in ordering BRCA testing. So if it's a triple negative breast cancer under the age of 60, they all will routinely be sent for testing.
So you have
But
somebody who
beyond
has a
that,
triple negative metastatic disease, they've had anthracycline taxane in the adjuvant setting, they're 65 and no family history, would you test them?
I could talk to them about it and see. It might depend on whether that would be covered by insurance and what the cost is.
I
I
mean,
mean,
I
I'd
guess.
refer them, but I think that, if the cost can still, not all of them are 750, some are still higher, and, I think it wouldn't be something I would do routinely, but I would have a discussion with the patient.
So, Sarah, how do you feel about that? To me, it's a predict. I'm not talking about genetic testing here. I'm talking about predictors of response to a therapy. Should a 65-year-old woman with triple negative disease who doesn't have family history have BRCA testing?
Well, I'll tell you, we don't have PARP inhibitors approved yet.
Okay, so.
So I don't think
If you
it's.
were the patient, would you want to have
Yeah, I
BRCA
mean,
testing?
it may predict response to platinum, and it may predict, or it may tell me she should really be referred for a trial of a PARP inhibitor, or we should try and do it. So I try and think about testing in terms of how often is it going to change my clinical decision making. And if for the platinum, yes. For the PARP inhibitor, probably very soon.
So that also brings up the issue, because you talked about where you might use it, though, but again, would be the issue of how. And I understand, you have regulatory payment issues you have to consider, but just taking a step back in terms of how you'd like to use it. Again, George, we have this dilemma about lack of data comparing it to platinum. And then you have the option of sort of doing both, given the platinum, and then, which again they do in ovarian cancer. If you had, flexibility about what you were going to do in terms of payment, what do you think the ideal way is to integrate olaparib or PARP inhibitors into breast cancer treatment?
Well, again, I don't know the answer for today. I do know the answer for 5 years from now.
What's that?
And the answer for 5 years from now is the price of testing will collapse, so we'll be testing everyone.
Okay, but you have a germline mutation.
And increasingly, we're going to use these drugs as the data comes in more and more upfront.